Hello, everyone, and welcome into FCC Talk. I am your host, John Rhodes, and with me today is the senior minister here at First Christian Church, Chris Gregg. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, John. Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
Yep, we're glad to have you here. We're glad to be talking about some different news and notes, things like that going on in the Christian world out there. We do want to remind everybody we don't necessarily get into politics here. We might talk about some news stories that have politics in the story, but we don't typically discuss those things. But we do offer ministry insights, things about our personal lives, and then we also just want to give you some good uplifting Christian content that you can listen to. It's not a sermon. You're not listening to something where we're going deep into scripture and finding the theological meanings and things like that, but it's just kind of casual discussion about Christian news topics and things like that going on. And I know it's kind of a brainless activity that I enjoy, and you enjoy it too, right, Chris?
Yep.
So we will get into our first topic here. Our first topic: Stephen Furtick is facing backlash because Elevation Church won't use words like resurrection on their Easter invite. So just about every time, you know, Easter pops around, we have some kind of thing happening with, you know, whether it's a weird church service or whether something has gone on that is, you know, maybe questionable to certain believers. But in this situation, it is the invites for Elevation Church that is causing some, you know, unsurety. I don't think that's a word, but some people are a little unsure about what Stephen Furtick is deciding here and commenting on. Chris, what is your reaction to Elevation Church and Stephen Furtick not using the word resurrection on their Easter invites?
I think it's interesting. A lot of it, I think, according to the article that I read, was they were trying to avoid the Christianese of, you know, what is resurrection, trying to probably say we're going to celebrate Jesus rising from the dead or something like that is what I'm hearing. Sometimes you get backlash because something leaks from the inside chatter to the outside. And so I just think they're trying to be non-Christian friendly, or those that are seeking Christ friendly, is what it looks like to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think the part that you were alluding to was the defense that Pro Church Tools came to for Elevation Church. And if you don't know what Pro Church Tools is, that's okay. That's like a church communication group that they are very much so in favor of kind of these large mega churches like Elevation Church. If you know Southeast down in Louisville, Kentucky, churches like that, they typically work with a lot of those churches. And so obviously there were some Instagram comments that were made, and you know, it's always a good idea to go to the comment section of social media, I guess, but right. You know, there were obviously people upset on there, even some people upset on TikTok as well, accusing Elevation of watering down Christianity and saying that there is no Jesus without the resurrection and his blood shed on Calvary, others calling it blasphemy. You know, just be honest, Chris, we've put Easter invites out before, and I don't know if we ever gave two thoughts about the word resurrection being on there. Like, we told people it's Easter and that we'll be celebrating Jesus, you know, and what he did. But I don't think we've ever said we're going to intentionally not use the word resurrection or not use the word Easter or anything like that. Sometimes it just might happen, but this sounds like it was very much so intentional.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's probably intentional, but the purpose behind it, the heart behind it, is what you have to look at. Are they wanting to reach lost people that may not understand the theological term of resurrection? And they may, out of context, not understand what Easter is all about, because our culture uses Easter for candy and eggs and the Easter rabbit. So if they're intentionally trying to reach that lost group, which I think we should, I think we probably need to be careful about our terminology, not to exclude, or what I want to say, not to say, not, I mean, you and I understand what Easter is and what the resurrection is, but not everybody does. And for people who, I mean, I'm just amazed at how many people don't know the gospel story and don't know who Jesus is and are anti-religious and they don't even know what they're anti of. So, if that's what they're trying to do, I'm okay with it. I don't think we want to avoid, obviously we celebrate Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection every Lord's Day through communion. And, you know, we talk about the blood of Jesus, grace of God, and resurrection without compromise. But at the same time, I understand people not understanding what those things are.
Yeah, I want to read a piece of what Pro Church Tools said about the situation. They said, quote, "Importantly, elevation absolutely emphasizes the resurrection of Christ in an Easter service and uses that word, yet you won't find it on Easter invitations of theirs." And so that was their responding about how just because it's not on the invitation doesn't mean it's not mentioned during the service, doesn't mean it's not talked about. Obviously, if you're going to have an Easter service, you can't not mention Jesus being resurrected from there. So, I mean, I guess you could, but it would be a pretty bad Easter
service. The big deal is how did they invite him? I'd like to see what their invitation said. That kind of come to our, what are you celebrating, Jesus rising from the dead service? I don't know how you would, I mean, how do you make that special without saying Easter or Resurrection Sunday? Celebrate Jesus? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess a really good host would have went out and actually found the invitation and done the research to put it on the podcast.
I'm just saying it'd be interesting
to
see.
I'm just messing with you. I mean, even after Pro Church Tools posted that, there were still people commenting about how theological language should not be fearful or ostracizing other people, and that if they are not using the correct language to them, they are being misleading and at worst blasphemous. Chris, you tell me if I'm wrong. Sometimes I'm wondering if people just want to be mad sometimes.
That's what I think. I think that it pays on social media to get a reaction. And so hopefully the gospel of Jesus Christ will be lifted up because people are mad about not using the resurrection and maybe pique some non-Christians' interest in what this hullabaloo is all about, right?
Right. And I mean, the unfortunate side of social media, and I mean, as somebody who uses it for work and who, you know, uses it in my personal life and has my own personal podcast outside of church, I can see why people will post certain things on social media, even if it's not necessarily truthful. They will post it just to kind of get a rise out of people. And so if somebody posts Easter, not Easter, Elevation is refusing to use the word resurrection. Elevation was not using that word for Easter. That's going to get a rise out of people, and maybe they don't have the full context of the story. And, you know, the more people you make angry, the more people you have commenting and sharing and saying, look at them. And it kind of goes back to that saying, you know, any publicity is good publicity, right?
Right. So, I mean, they're probably generating more traffic in the Christian crowd over this than anywhere else.
That's very true. Very true. I mean, in my mind, I'm like, you know, maybe just go ahead and use the word Easter or resurrection or something like that. I don't think it's that big of a deal to like maybe use it when you're in your phrasing or something like that. But I suppose I can maybe see where they're coming from if they want to invite more people. So yeah, it's something that is gaining a big reaction, but I don't know if I have any kind of large reaction to it. It sounds like you don't really either, Chris, right?
Well, I'm just saying I don't really know. Even with that article, I'm trying to look up Easter at Elevation. Everything says that I see is saying Easter at Elevation. You're invited to Easter at Elevation is what I'm looking at. And the other thing is he is risen. And so that's kind of the resurrection.
Yeah, I think if you use the word risen, talking about Jesus is risen. Right.
I don't know how you kind of covers say it any other way.
Easter resurrection service. I don't know.
Jesus is risen. He's not in the tomb.
Yeah.
All of those phrases could be used.
Right.
Like, you know, when we say Calvary or Easter resurrection, we probably have to clarify what we mean, which we probably naturally do a lot. But for people that are trying to be more culturally sensitive, not saying that we aren't, but we pretty much call them as we see them and are pretty direct, because I don't know that we're in a culture. Our area is probably not in a culture that would be anti or just looking for a fight all the time. Although some people are.
Yeah, that's true. Some people are. All right, Chris. Well, let's go ahead and just move on to our next topic then. Our next topic is that despite discontent about their job, overall health and wellness of pastors is better than the general public. You believe that, Chris? You are a pastor and you are a minister, whatever you want to call it. And according to a study done, I'm forgetting who the study was done by. I'll mention it here in a minute. But according to a study, that the overall health and wellness of pastors and ministers is greater than the general public nowadays, which has not always been the case. You know, pastors have for a long time been stressed and overworked and worked long hours. And obviously they're carrying the burden of, you know, people in their congregation who are sharing difficult life matters with them. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you also have to worry about, you know, have you possibly offended somebody and they're not going to come back to church now and those kind of things. And then you have to deal with the weight of, you know, is this person ever going to go to church again? Am I the reason why they're never going to go to church? You know, yada, 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 tons of things.
Right.
But it's kind of surprising that now in 2024, it has shifted to pastors and ministers having better overall wellness and health. Chris, what is your reaction to that?
Well, I was interested because I read that study and I know of people that were bailing out of ministry and churches failing and all those negative vibes from all of those statistics. But what I'm fascinating with more about this is it just means that the general public's overall health is way down, because what that article basically said, that ministers' emotional, mental, spiritual health is down, and that it's better than the general population. But what it really means is the general population's mental, emotional, and social, physical health is way down. And so I don't know that ministers have improved over the past few years. In fact, I see more people, what I would say, leaving ministry and going to do other things than I've ever seen in my life in ministry. But it just reemphasizes how bad general overall mental, physical, and emotional health is among the general population. That's how I took it. I mean, they put a positive spin on it, but comparing us to the general population isn't really a good measure, do I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
It sounds really negative. What I'm saying is really negative. I'm just saying, I think they're putting a positive spin on something that we were in a pandemic, disease pandemic from COVID, but now I think we're in a mental, emotional health pandemic, endemic in our culture, and we just fail to see it. More anxious, more depressed, more chaotic than what we were before. So that's concerning to me. So to me, it just, when they come out with this stuff, I'm just saying, what's going on that you would, you're making people think there's something there that's not. We're just doing better than the general population, which is really in bad shape. So,
yeah, I had a similar thought when I was reading through it as well. And the one area that they highlighted that I noticed was that the relationships, I'm trying to find the exact numbers here in an article, sometimes it's difficult, but the relationships of pastors has always been something that has ranked pretty low for them. Really? You know, pastors and ministers
right.
tend to have a hard time making friends and having solid friendships in the church. And there's a number of reasons of why that is. If anybody ever wants us to, I'm sure you and I could go into some more detail about why that is, but this Absolutely. Probably isn't the time to do that. But, you know, that I noticed that kind of like that didn't really get any better for the ministers, just the margin between what the normal population has for that and what ministers have for that has just gotten smaller because our society has become mm-hmm. less social with mm-hmm. one another. And we have become less, I mean, we just had at Toastmasters the other day, we had somebody come and want to be a part of Toastmasters. And she told me, I can't remember if you were there when she said this, Chris, but she said she's just looking for more ways to get into her community. Obviously she wants to become a better speaker as well, but she's right. just looking for more ways to get into the community and meet more people because there are not as many events and things like that going on in our community that create those relationships and those friendships right. that people right. thrive on.
Right. Only 9% of pastors reported physical health as excellent in 2022 compared to 24%. So it looks like their physical health has declined somewhat.
Yeah, the also, physical health is declining. You know, I thought that was saying it was increasing.
Mental and emotional health as below average increased from 3% to 10% in 2022. And the mental and emotional health was excellent, fell from 39% to just 11% in 2022. So the overall pastor has declined is what I see. And I feel good, but I know my health has declined from 2020 till now, but that I don't know if it's significant that it was because of COVID or if I just hit that burnout point and I've gained weight since then and I keep wanting to do something, but I don't. But I exercise twice a week, I take my days off, and I'm relatively healthy in comparison to the rest of the population personally. And my exercise instructor said only 3% of the population can do a pushup. Well, I can do a lot of pushups, but that doesn't mean that I'm happy with my physical health, but I think I'm probably healthier than most, if that makes sense, because I think physical health, mental health have a lot to do with physical wellness and how you eat, how you sleep, those type things, as well as the spiritual component of having a good relationship with Jesus. And by and large, ministers have been fat friars rather than lean, mean fighting machines, I would say. But that's just my opinion. It's not statistically backed up at all.
Yeah, I don't have a statistical backing for that either, but I would tend to agree that those who are clergy, pastors, ministers, whatever you want to call them, do not tend to take their physical health to, a greater standard than some other people do. Now, that's not all of them. Like you said, we don't have any numbers to back that up. I have met, you know, a lot of ministers who do take their physical health very seriously. And you working out and exercising at least twice a week is something that, you know, compared to the average American, does mean that you are taking your physical health seriously. But I do wonder how much, you know, maybe just people getting out of ministry might have affected some of these numbers kind of as well.
Them. Yeah, you know, that could have skewed them because a lot of people have left. But there's
right.
still
the thing, go ahead.
Still churches that need pastors and pastors that are still pastoring.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, you know, we hear a lot about how certain people left the church during COVID and stuff like that, but at the same time, there were pastors who left. I mean, there were megachurch pastors who came out and very open talking about how, you know, the pandemic was just one of the most rough times on them as a minister. because they didn't have the mental health or whatever to deal with it, and they also didn't have their congregation to be with them, and they didn't have, I mean, they didn't have a lot of things. And so not only did a lot of people fall away from the church, but a lot of ministers and pastors got out of the vocation around that time as well.
For me, it was one of the roughest times personally, because of the isolation, and we figured it out real quick with community and doing the parking lot and kind of the gathering that we were able to do, which I think helped a whole lot. But what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I feel like we're stronger, healthier, mentally, emotionally, and personally because of what we've gone through as a body. And so it sorted out what is important, and we changed a lot of things, and we've continued in that way, and we're growing as a body. And I'm super excited about all of that, but we are changed because of it.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, things have changed, and, you know, I remember my very first ministry, they talked about how sometimes, people have to leave in order for the church to get healthier. And sometimes, you know, you don't want to see people leave, but sometimes there are people who stick around at the church and maybe it's just not the right fit for them, but that's where they've always gone. And so they stuck around, and all you can really do is pray that they do find a church that they, you know, stick to and have a good relationship with. So,
All right,
Chris, let's move.
Go ahead. I was going to say 1 in 5 church members left the church in the pandemic and haven't come back. That disturbs me, and it causes me to pray and just to reach out for those that are hurting or broken or overwhelmed by that whole thing. But at the same time, we're stronger, better, leaner, and growing. And so I'm super excited about that.
I agree. I am as well. All right, let's move on to the next subject here. Churches are failing to address the fatherless epidemic, warns an expert. So there's this article from Christian Post where an expert named Sean Tice shares his story about how his father left him when he was 9 months old, and he goes into detail about his passion for Life Factors Fatherless Ministries, which is all about the people growing up without their fathers, not having them. They share certain statistics like, what was it? 85% of people in prison grew up without a father. So what is that? 17 out of every 20 people in prison grow up without a father. And so he talks a lot about how important it is that there are fathers in the church, and there are fathers in the families in the church, and not only that, but that there are people in the church who are also being father figures as well to those in the church who maybe don't have fathers or don't know their fathers, or they have a very strenuous relationship with their fathers. So Chris, obviously this is something they're calling out, kind of the American church overall. And so just, I guess, from your aspect, is our church, First Christian Church, is our church doing enough to address the fatherless epidemic that Sean Tice is worried about today?
First of all, I want to preface that question with, we always can do better. So no, we haven't arrived. I think there's a lot of things that we do as a church that sets us apart. First of all, we're male friendly, and not to the exclusion of females, but we are male friendly. I've had guys over and over again say, this is the first church where I feel welcome and I feel at home. And I don't know what we do differently that allows for that. We also have, you know, male leadership that's predominant or obvious in our congregation, which also helps with that relationship male to a child without a male example in the home. Also, our children's ministry, our youth ministry have a lot of male presence through the coaches and volunteers. And so I think that's super important. So kids have positive adult male role models in our church at all times. I think what Mark Raylis does, our pastoral care guy in All Pro Dads, and two of our schools that probably have more single moms than any other schools. The All-Pro Dads program just kind of establishes and creates an environment where children's hearts can be turned to the fathers and fathers to the children's hearts. And again, adult male positive role models. I think all of those things are great. I don't know what we can do other than just, love our single moms and parents that are male and female raising kids on their own and just support them and love them and encourage them. And so we do some big things with church family, but everybody's welcome. And so we got, single moms, single dads, everybody, singles and marrieds that are coming together and, and all different types of relationships are welcome in our church. But that, I think those are some of the things. I can't think of anything else. Can you?
No, not specifically. I know in the article they talked a little bit about how Sean Tice, he talks about just how, don't treat it like a taboo issue in church to talk about. Right. That's something that actually Kevin and I have talked about over in mm-hmm. Kid Zone, is that, sometimes there will be a kid there that maybe they don't know their father, or maybe they don't have a good relationship with their father, or, mm-hmm. Whatever else. And, Kevin and I will talk about, well, let's make sure, we maybe give that kid a little bit more attention or something like that. Obviously, we're not favoring anybody, but, just trying to be sure that, we're a little bit more sensitive to maybe what they're feeling and what's going on with them and stuff like that. And typically, there have been kids that you do notice maybe they have a little bit more of a difficult time struggling with their emotions. Maybe they have a little bit more of a difficult time opening up if they don't have a father in their life or a father figure. And so generally, you can recognize those things. But, I think it's one of those things where it's just like, Kevin and I talk about it, and we want to try to do the right thing. And I don't think that it should be an issue for somebody to say, hey, you're doing a really good job being a fatherly influence in that person's life. Or, hey, let's be sure that we are doing our best to be good influences and be good father figures to maybe those who don't mm-hmm. have them in mm-hmm. their lives. Just making sure it's not a taboo issue, because there is an aspect of this article that gets political that we won't get into. But, just kind of the standard in our society today mm-hmm. is that it's okay to grow up without a father. You don't need somebody to take care of you like that. And sure, you might be able to grow up without a father, but your life statistically is not going to be as good if there is not a good fatherly figure Absolutely. In your life.
I think boys and girls need dads, obviously. Right. It was created that way. You see girls grow up with father hunger and have some things going on, and young men that have grown up without fathers having some things that are going on that aren't positive. Just because you have a dad doesn't mean it's a healthy relationship or a positive relationship. We hope it is, but we got to recognize that as well. But statistically, good fathers make a difference in kids' lives.
For sure.
As well as good moms. You want good moms and good dads. And so it's not just, moms are super important, but dads are super important too.
Right. And that was a part that I felt like in the article, maybe the guy was suggesting that, we don't just talk about fatherly influence, but we are also not afraid to talk about family structure and the way that God intended the family to be, and how that is not only a good idea and wise, but it is statistically beneficial when the family is operating in such a way that the Bible has outlined various different times. Not just with mothers and fathers, but also with kids and, business owners and what they do with their employees and things like that as well. So,
what I encourage single moms to do, and over and over again, in divorce situations or absent father or even abusive fathers, is to get a mentor, a positive role, Christian male role model to be involved, either grandpa or uncle or a personal family friend that is trusted, but someone healthy that that kid can have a great relationship with. Boys and girls need that. And I think that we as Christian men, as trying to do what God calls us to do, should engage in those kind of relationships. I have tried to always do that with everyone around me.
Yeah, I totally agree. Last question, Chris, and then we'll get you out of here. You know, when you look at maybe just members in our church, you know, it's one thing for us to talk about, you know, being willing to talk about the family structure and stuff like that. You know, just standard members in our church, maybe they don't have a leadership role, or maybe they, you know, serve in maybe an area or two or something like that, but just standard people in our church who are going there on Sunday mornings. I mean, what do you feel like they can do to help address the issue in our society of, you know, the fatherless epidemic and stuff like that going on?
Right. I'd say, you know, adopt someone some way and make a difference. You can't do it all. But what I am trying to do at this stage of my life is pick one person and make a difference. What I can't do for everyone, do for one. That's kind of the principle. And so during youth ministry, I had one young man that I targeted, and I specifically spent time with him and tried to be a good influence over him. We had a great relationship, had a lot of fun, intentional. Absent father, absent mother, grandma was raising him. Today in my life, I am injecting myself into specific lives for a specific purpose as a Christian man, to be a godly example and a caring person. Can't do it for everyone, but I can do it for someone, and someone is better than no one. And so little gains, little places, investing life, and it doesn't cost much, but it makes a world of difference, I think. So I would encourage everybody to do that.
I agree. Yeah, we talked about that last week with CJ about how, you know, sports figures and stuff like that will talk about, you know, it's just one game at a time. And sometimes you're just focused on this huge goal and you don't even see what's happening right in front of you. And so it's, you know, instead of saying like, well, we got to reach everybody for Christ, you know, which yes, we do, but, you know, one heart at a time, you know, what can I do when I go to the Y today to influence somebody for Christ? What can I do in this conversation with this person today that will maybe show them, show them Christ in some way, something like that. So.
Absolutely.
All right. That's a great discussion, Chris. I appreciate you coming on. Those were some great topics to talk about and discuss. Do you have anything, church related or anything like that? Easter's this Sunday, anything like that? So it is Good Friday. This will be releasing on, so if you're listening on Friday, happy Good Friday. And
oh, is this Good Friday? Are we on the Easter week and on Good Friday? Well, I'm excited about the Easter egg hunt. Your John Rhodes, our children's pastor, is going to be doing the Easter egg hunt at 10 a.m. on Saturday at Forest Park. Come on,
we've been prepping for weeks for 5 minutes of egg hunting.
It's an extravaganza. I'm looking forward to it. Do it every year. Of course, our Easter services, 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock. That's going to be awesome. Good Friday service here in the community. If you're listening to this early on Friday morning, it's at noon. I'm going to be doing a reflection, but it's just a great gathering. It's traditional. It's modern. It's choir. It's solo. It's multiple speakers. Just set your heart ready for Easter. And I hope that you're maybe reading your Bible into Easter and doing some kind of devotional or something going on with it, because it's just a way to make Easter special and look forward to it. I'm going to be preaching a rock solid Easter service, Resurrection Sunday. Did I say the wrong words multiple times? Invite your friends to Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, or Jesus is Risen Sunday. However you want to say it, just as long as you do it, let them know that Jesus makes a difference and he has made a difference in our world and to world to come.
We're trying to make sure we hit every word here. So nobody
whether it's taboo or not.
Calvary, resurrection, there we go. All of them.
There we go. There we go.
All right. Yes, definitely check out the Good Friday service. Chris, where's that at? It's not here at church. Where's it at?
First Methodist Church on Meridian Street in Brazil, Indiana at noon Eastern Standard Time.
There we go.
And you can always join us online. If you can't make it to church on Sunday, even though you really need to be a part of community, you know, jump online and check us out. It's going to be a really good sermon. Some things that I've never said before, things I've never thought about before. I think it will make a difference.
But the Good Friday service will not be online, correct?
Right. I don't believe it will.
That's in person. Yeah.
That's in person. In person only.
Very good. All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Chris. Thank you for everybody who listened to FCC Talk. We'll be back again next week, probably with either Dan or CJ. We'll see which one of them hops on. It's we don't really have a schedule here, if you notice. We just kind of
ramble through it. Hey, you available? Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. So, like I said, thank you everybody for listening. We appreciate it. Have a great week.
Thanks.